This is Dustin Five Star.
And Maria.
And you're listening to the Oversell Podcast.
It is episode 42, and we are talking all things professional wrestling with our friend Dustin Five Star. Stick around. This is the Oversell Podcast. And gentlemen, welcome to the Oversell Podcast. My name is Derek.
I am Mike.
And joining us on our Oversell Hotline, which was taking a lot of fun to get set up tonight, but he was patient enough to hang out with us anyway, Dustin Five Star. Dustin, thanks for coming back, man.
Yo, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on.
We have got so much in the wrestling world I want to talk to you about, but first let's start what's happened with you since last time we talked to you.
You name it. I mean, a whole bunch of stuff. We got a bunch of dates coming up. Here recently, we went to Every Week. We have wrestling every week on Sports 56 WHBQ in Memphis. And, of course, you can get it on the podcast online anywhere in the world. But Cerrito Live had a lot of great guests on throughout the years. And now, finally, we're every week we're talking wrestling. Just like the old time when we on Saturday morning wrestling on television, but this time it's only on the radio.
The good old days.
We got that going on, and you know, back in the ring.
Yeah. You recently won a heavyweight championship, didn't you?
Yeah, of course. Everywhere I go.
Well, you wrestled up there, man, in SPWA, right?
Yeah, SPWA out in Raymer, Tennessee. We went in last week, and then. It was really weird. I guess Corey Daniels, you guys had Corey Daniels on here not too long ago, I believe, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I showed up, and they were like, hey, he left. Interesting little story, and I was like, wow, okay. So Maria and I, we wrestled Chris Styles. I thought they were just going to hand the title over to me since Corey wasn't there. Anyway, I had a good match with Chris Styles and ended up victorious there and took the SPWA Heavyweight Championship on Local Memphis Live on Local 24 in Memphis, which I've been doing that, every month. They give me about 4 or 5 days and get to go on the news. Like, who would have thought that I would ever be on the news co-hosting with Amy Sprockwitz? How cool is that?
That's very cool.
How did that
come
about?
It's good for wrestling. Anytime you can get the word out about wrestling, especially in Memphis, you know, trying to keep independent wrestling alive, because, that's where it all started, right here in Memphis. And then big WWE boom, and I'm just glad to be a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
How did the Local Memphis come about?
You know, that's a funny little thing. I'm not real sure. It was actually bodybuilding, I believe, because, you know, they had me on some of the Fitness Fridays, and I was going into probably the Tennessee State or something like that and had some shows. Actually, I think it was the Knox Classic last year. I placed second there.
Awesome.
So I went on the Friday leading up to the show. The show was on Saturday, so no pressure, right? I'm on a local television show talking about, you know, competing and having to come back on to see how I placed and all that kind of stuff. No pressure.
No.
But anyway, from that, they actually, I did a couple of spots with the, you know, Fitness Friday, and they had a spot open, said, hey, you want to come and co-host? So they called me and Maria and gave us a couple of dates on that. And man, I'm telling you, I was like a kid in a candy store. You talk about bucket list things. That is so much fun. Everything from the teleprompter to have a little thing in your ear. It kind of started out that way. I guess they liked it and they had us back. And now I don't even have an earpiece. I don't have to read a teleprompter. I'm just kind of there with Amy, and she's doing the news, and I'm throwing in my 2 cents here and there and plugs and stuff like that. So it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it a lot.
Very cool. Very cool. You said placed second. Was that the show in Nashville you went up to do?
Well, the one in Nashville was in November.
Right.
I placed third in that one, and I qualified nationally. So this year I can do a national show, which if I win the national show or if I place high enough, then I can become a pro, a men's physique pro. You know, and the goal really was never to become a pro. Despite what people think, you know, just because you're a pro, bodybuilder, that doesn't mean that you're making the big money. It's kind of like WWE. You have about that 1% of people that are actually making the big money. But it would be cool, and it is on the bucket list to say that I won a national championship. So that's what's kind of important there. And then with my sponsor, USP Labs, of course, it helps that. And then also it helps me stay in great ring shape for when I have to take my shirt off and get in the ring. So, yeah, I placed third in that one. That was in Nashville. So the national shows, they happen in Pittsburgh, Chicago, Charleston, which my buddy Stan Lee, he lives in Charleston now, so I can go to the beach, hang out with him, and then compete in a show. That'd be kind of fun if I did that this year. But I think they have them in Vegas and Miami, so I just kind of pick a place on the map and say, hey, let's go, you know, train for it.
Well, this kind of goes into one of the questions our friend Fred asked on Twitter, and he just
Fred.
Yeah, you're our buddy Fred. I got to see you guys out at NXT, which we're going to get to here a little bit, but he asked tips on how one can motivate themselves to start a daily fitness regimen.
Well, there's two things. I saw that on Twitter. There's two things, Fred. Okay, so number one, for me, guys like me, is get naked and look in the mirror. That's me. That's enough motivation for me. I want to look good naked. You know what I mean?
That's the whole point, isn't it?
And then there's the other side where it's your health, you know, the health benefits. And, you know, I don't know, man. Have you guys seen the show on A&E? It's Fat to Fit, or it's Fit to Fat to Fit is the name of the show. Have you seen that?
I've heard of it.
I actually saw it on my guide the other day, but I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Oh, it is amazing. So you got these trainers, and they find somebody that they want to help. And depending on, you know, how overweight that person is, they'll say, hey, I'm going to gain 50, 60, 70 pounds. I'm going to stop working out. I'm just going to eat, gain that weight, and then you and I are going to work out together, and we're going to lose it together. It is an incredible show. Wow. They're actually casting right now, and Maria sent me the link and said, hey, you might want to check this out. No way, man. I would not want to do it, but damn. It's a great show, but it gives you a real good insight on blood work and just how dangerous it is, if you get, you know, enough overweight. I mean, obviously there's health problems there. So that's my two things, is looking in the mirror and just seeing what you see and see what you look like. And if you want to change it, that's me. And then the health benefits is if you're sick because of your weight, you got to change it, especially if you have kids and family and everything else. Mm-hmm. You definitely want to live as long as you can. But those are my two things is your health and then also the way you look. And I'm probably one of the most self-conscious guys out there, believe it or not. You know, in the ring, I'm all cocky and ego and all that kind of stuff. But before I take my shirt off and get in the ring or get in front of a lot of people, you know, there's a certain expectation that I think the fans have, and there's a certain expectation that I have of myself to keep myself in good shape. I mean, heck, I won 2 Mr. Tennessee titles. I can't get in the ring looking bad, you know?
Right.
That's kind of what separates me, and one of the things that separates me from everybody else. But I enjoy it. I really do love it. If I don't hit the gym, I feel like there's something missing out of my day. Isn't that crazy?
No. I mean, if you have something that's that, I'd love to have that sort of dedication to anything right now, but I just can't find it. Now, how does this translate into injuries in wrestling? Do you think, you know, since you're in such great shape, that helps you avoid minor injuries or anything like that?
Well, I get minor injuries all the time. You know, I don't wrestle quite as much as I used to, although February and March, the calendar is jam-packed. And really what happens is a tweak an elbow or, you know, of course, lower back is always a thing in the wrestling business. And mm-hmm. then I have some problems with my neck, and I'm sure that's going to haunt me, you know, down the line when I get older. But taking the bumps in the ring, it affects me getting into the gym because I can't lift as much, or, you know, if your elbows are sore, you don't want to lift. So you might have to take a couple of days off and just do cardio only. Mm-hmm. But I think they help each other really, because, you know, the wear and tear that you do in the gym, it kind of gets you ready for the ring, but they're two totally different things. Like
right.
You can go run 6 miles like it's nothing. But when you get in the ring, that's a whole different kind of cardio. So, you know, just kind of juggling the two. You try to be safe to where, you know, you don't get too hurt to where it keeps you out of the gym.
Good deal. Let's a lot of wrestling in Memphis last week. It was just so much going on. What all shows? I know you went to NXT because I got to talk to you there, but did you get to go to SmackDown too?
I did not go to SmackDown. You know, I said on Cerrito Live last week, I'm ashamed that I forgot to even Tebow it. I just haven't been a SmackDown fan over the last couple of years,
neither,
and I can't get back into it. And I know Jericho and AJ, they're wrestling, but if that's the only match I want to see, I can always look at that online.
Right, right.
And, you know, Vince, he had an interview recently talking about how the ratings don't matter as much. You know, the live stuff is what really matters to them because they do it better than anybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. And there's so many different ways to consume your television now. That's, I mean, we could watch it online, WWE Network. You can watch it on your phone, Hulu. There's all sorts of different ways. So the ratings aren't as important as before, and just like it's like on demand. I can Google and find AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho and just watch that part of the show. But yeah, the NXT was awesome.
Oh man,
if
that
you were
was,
there, man, it was really good.
That was so much fun. I took a lot of notes, and I mean there was a match that was just kind of average, but every other match on that card was just badass.
Yeah, I'm sad I missed it.
What's the average match you think?
That would be, I've got it up. Billie Kay versus Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, yeah. It seemed like that they, I think they were relatively new. Am I right on that?
Billie Kay is. Alexa Bliss has been around in NXT for a bit.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it was a bad match.
No. It's just,
you know,
you could tell Billie Kay is still kind of green. The notes I had on that match actually were, let's see, Billie Kay. Wow.
That was it.
Yeah.
That's it.
She came,
that's the notes.
Alexa Bliss got the win. But she had this like weird kind of like stripper entrance or something like that. And
yeah, yeah. Okay. Maria was nudging me saying, that's a little much, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought too.
I said, hey, I didn't notice. What are you talking about?
I think my favorite match, I can't really say I had a favorite because they're all so great, but I mean, Asuka Emma was good.
It was. That was very good. And you know what? Emma's work is getting kind of lost in who she was working against. But I like Emma's work, too.
I do. You know, it sucks.
Asuka was really good. Asuka could go on the main roster right now and be part of the next Divas Revolution.
Yep.
And she's different. There's nobody that looks like her, nobody that works like her. You know, I just thought that she was something different.
Man, and she's so smooth in her transitions to me. Whenever she was,
yeah, and she connects well with the people too.
That's
sure.
Right. That's right. After that was Alphas versus Blake and Murphy, and dude, I could watch Chad Gable wrestle every day of the week.
Yeah.
I love watching Chad Gable wrestle.
Kevin and I were standing there together, and we were kind of talking over, and he thought that they looked just like '80s wrestlers with the singlets and everything, and I kind of agree with that. I see Jason Jordan's going to break out on his own. And I know a lot of people like Chad Gable. He's going to have a real uphill battle just because of the size.
Right, right.
But, man, Jordan is a big guy. He moves well. I think Jordan was actually there for a tryout when I was in FCW in developmental. Mm-hmm. And we all thought that he worked just like Kurt Angle. I mean, the way that he picked – and he had no wrestling experience. He just – the way he moved in the ring was great. And I think they told him to go back and finish college and then that they would sign him. And then here he is today. And – that Kurt Angle reference, that was way before he, you know, was doing the ankle lock, and mm-hmm. he actually had a lot of Kurt Angle spots in that match, if you noticed.
Yes, yes. Yeah, and I love watching Blake and Murphy just for the heat they get. They can rile up a crowd pretty good. The Alphas got the win. It was just great tag team wrestling. After that was Alexa Bliss versus Billie Cage, and I'll say it again, Billie Kay, wow.
Wow, that's it, huh?
That's my main note on that match. After that, Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, excuse me. This is where I think we won over NXT in Memphis as a crowd because we were doing the ole, ole, ole chants.
Right.
Yes.
Joe is going to kill you. I think this crowd was extremely hot, and it was throughout the entire show,
yes,
too. But, man, watching Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, it was just incredible. What do you think?
Well, I thought that was the match of the night, actually. I think that probably should have been the main event, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, the people love Sami Zayn. They know Sami Zayn from working on Raw against John Cena. And, of course, they know Samoa Joe from all the other stuff he did. I can't wait till Joe gets moved up to the main roster.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
He was really good, and I was really surprised that Joe beat him with a submission move, too.
Mm-hmm.
That just made Joe really strong. It gave, you know, Sami Zayn even got up afterwards and got a huge ovation from the crowd, even after he lost.
Right. And I love,
you know, it was really good.
I love Joe going to shake his hand and then pulling his hand away right there at the last minute. I mean, it's just best way to get some cheap heat. And he left with some good heat on
him. Big time heat.
And that was one of my notes. Match of the night by far.
Right.
After that, Tommaso and Gargano versus Dawson Wilder. And I've seen it before, I've seen it on social media. It was an all right match. But Dawson and Wilder, you know, they remind me of a young Brainbusters.
Yeah, they do. I think I don't see them transitioning well to the main roster, to be honest with you. And the thing that I thought is all of them look like tag team partners. They all wore basically the same colors, all had trunks on. Unless you watched NXT and you were familiar with all the guys, which I promise you most of the crowd probably was not familiar with everybody on the show, you wouldn't know who was tag team partners with who, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just think that they were probably a little too old school. And for them to have the tag team titles, I think they have some other tag teams that would probably work better with those championships. Nothing against their work or anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Good match. They had great spots and all that kind of stuff. I just looked at it like they all look like they could be tag team partners together.
Yeah. And I think it's weird that Enzo and Cass aren't more involved with the tag team picture down there in NXT, because that's their best tag team.
Yeah, I think, though, that we know that those guys have bigger plans.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Road Dogg and Billy Gunn, oh, you didn't know? You know, they're going to they're going to get over like that because of how you doing and the whole promo that they do when they come to the ring. And, you know, the people were chanting it all night long and we didn't get them.
Yep.
So
that
says a lot.
After that was Bayley and Nia Jax. Bayley is so over. It's incredible. People just
she is, yeah.
And there's this one dude there who had a Bayley shirt on and a Bayley headband, and he got to hug Bayley, and I think it was probably the defining moment of his life.
Was it you?
It was not me.
Okay.
I was in the cool Balor shirt. but man, I thought, you know, Nia Jax, I think I like her as a heel, as just a big, bruising, dominant, unstoppable heel. I mean, every good guy or face has to have a natural heel, and I think that's Nia Jax.
I think that she's going to take Tamina's place. I think Tamina, they tried to get over for a long time, and she's just not – I don't know what it is. It just seems like she's not the bruiser that they kind of wanted her to be, I don't think. And Nia Jax probably is. And if you saw on The Rock's Instagram, he's pushing her.
Yeah.
You know, they're related, and that might be the next monster. Like, you know, Kong didn't quite work out in WWE at all. So they need that monster, that bruiser that was there. You know, and I read a stat here not too long ago. Did you know that China only lost one match to a woman in her entire stint with WWE?
Yeah, it was Ivory, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Ivory. I saw that the other day, and I was like, wow, you know, that's pretty strong, man, and that's solid.
I'm telling you, I'm getting ready for Trivia Mania with questions like that.
Oh, you bring it, bro. Trivia Mania is going to be off the hook.
I can't wait. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will, for sure.
But, man, the whole crowd was going nuts when Bayley was doing her hug the crowd thing.
Right.
That son of a gun, Chris Vernon, got to hug her, and I didn't. That really ticks me off.
Chris Vernon?
Yeah. I'm not a Vernon guy. I'll just say it like that.
Vernon's all right.
Yeah.
I'm going to beat Roser up, though. I hope he's listening.
Good. Yeah. Hey, tweet at him when we get done. And after that was the main event, and it was Finn Balor versus Baron Corbin. And Baron Corbin, the two notes I had on this match, Corbin comes off as just a natural heel. There's no reason to like the guy.
Right.
And Balor's entrance is is the best entrance ever. Next to Dustin, five stars.
My 7 year old, my 7 year old was disappointed he didn't have the makeup on, all the face paint and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Balor, I always look at it like, how are these guys going to transition into the main roster? Because look at Tyler Breece.
Yeah.
Not so well, right?
Right.
Yeah, Vince gave up on him quick.
And so how is Finn Balor going to be different? You know, is he going to do the face paint every time? Are they going to give him all that television time for that entrance every single time? I don't think so. I mean, they're going to have to do something a little bit different.
I think it'll be a big if they bring him up, you only see the makeup at Big Four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
I'm just anxious to see what they're going to do with him. And then he was the only one that had any mic time all night long.
Right, which he
did a little rendition of Elvis.
Did you hear what – no, he sang Wrestling in Memphis to the tune of
Walking
in
Memphis.
Oh, that's right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
But he made reference to Elvis when it kind of seemed like he was making reference to Elvis about singing and that kind of thing. And then, yeah, then he did the Wrestling in Memphis, right?
Yeah, yeah. And and the crowd went nuts when he was singing that song. And overall, it's such a great show. I got my little program – I bought a program from it. I bought a Balor shirt. I mean, it's just – and I think they really liked the Memphis crowd because we were hot all night. And we had, you know, there's always those guys at the wrestling show that get a little too much to drink and they start just screaming random stuff. But
yeah,
you're going to have that regardless. Yeah. But other than that, I thought the crowd was hot. You know, we were just staying with the chants that you hear down in old NXT down in Orlando. It was just a fun show. I had a really great time. Got to sit around and talk to Kevin Cerrito, Dustin and Maria. Got to talk to Fred. I mean, Dustin, you carry around a good stable of guys with you.
Yeah, yeah. Fred, Dreadhead Kev was there. My trivia buddy, Christopher, he was there. There was a lot of five-star fans there, too. We met a lot of cool people. I found out, too, that NXT has actually signed on for 3 years at Maywood Hall, so we'll definitely get them back.
Nice.
We don't have to worry about that. Was there any other news that came out of that?
No. You know, the next night, of course, when they go to Nashville, Finn Balor gets hurt because that's, you know, what happens.
Oh, yeah.
I saw that. Yeah, that stinks.
But that also led to Bayley doing Balor's entrance, which that video is one of the greatest things I think I've ever seen, too. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, no. Bayley did Balor's entrance because he was hurt and he was in the ring on crutches, and she came out in the Balor Club jacket and did it verbatim, throwing the hands up the right spot. It was so cool.
That is fun.
Some other big news before we get to the biggest news. Let's talk a little bit. Dustin, what do you think about what the WWE did with Titus O'Neil?
I don't know, man. I think there's got to be more to that story than that. I mean, definitely, when I saw it live, I thought that he kind of tripped Vince is what I thought, like pulling a rib on him and tripped him. And I thought it was kind of funny, and I thought it was really ballsy and very brave that Titus did that. But I know Titus. Me and him were traveling buddies when we were in FCW. And I think that was because, you know, we were a little bit older. I was, 27, 28. Some of the other guys are 23, 24, something like that. And so, you know, we were a little more business. We'd go straight to the show and then go straight back, you know, that kind of thing. And we always got along and were real respectful and everything. And I actually texted him afterwards. I won't say exactly what, you know, our personal conversation was, but he's fine. Mm-hmm. He's cool.
Good.
Looks like it's not 90 days. It's going to be 60 days. I think there's probably an overreaction on Vince's part, but then, man, you're really brave if you're going to grab Vince and you're going to mess with him, you know, especially in a situation like that. But it wasn't on live TV. It was on WWE Network. They were already off the air.
There's several stories going around, like maybe he grabbed him because, Steph should have walked to the back first or something like that.
Yeah, that's what I was reading here. He apparently explained to management that grabbing Vince's arm was the gesture to indicate ladies first. So Stephanie could exit the stage first, and it is meant to be done in a playful manner.
I think everybody's looking way too much into it. The bottom line is that they probably felt that it was unprofessional, that the cameras were still on. I remember back in the day when they were doing a big pull-apart in Memphis television, and Lawler was actually in the back. Jerry Lawler was in the back watching it, and a couple of the referees were kind of pinching each other and, you know, just kind of goofing, but it was hidden. Nobody would really see it. Mm-hmm. And since Lawler's in the business, obviously, he saw it, and when it came back, he's like, what are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. What, you goofing off in a, you know, a serious spot that we're doing on TV and we're trying to draw money, and you guys are goofing off? I think it was kind of like one of those things that they felt like he was goofing off, and he got in trouble for it. I mean, he got suspended. Did you see Batista's tweet?
Yeah, that he had told him he should ask for his release.
That's a little too much. I mean, come on, you can quit WWE because they suspended you for being unprofessional. I think that everybody's blowing this way out of proportion.
Yeah.
If you notice, Titus is still doing his appearances. He's still I think he just did a thing for what, Animal Planet or some TV station. I mean, he's fine.
Yeah.
He'll come back, you know. I don't know. I didn't like the fact that Adam Rose beat him. He was undefeated for how many months, and then Adam Rose beat him. I mean,
outcast for life.
I mean, those guys are funny. They are bringing – Maria is actually a fan of the one-man rock band. She thinks he's funny.
Heath Slater.
Yeah, he was there when I was there, and I'll tell you, he put on the best matches week in and week out before he was called up. I mean, he really earned that spot. Mm-hmm. And then another little inside story is, if you notice, when Brett came back and Brett was wrestling a little bit against Nexus, he only worked with Heath Slater. So all the bumps and all the punches and all that kind of stuff was with Heath. And that's because he respected Heath's work and he trusted him, you know, and that says a whole lot. And the guys are apparently getting over. They got some T-shirts and getting some TV time.
That's right. That is right.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. And let's get to the biggest news, the biggest elephant in the room. We got to see Daniel Bryan's retirement speech this week. I will admit, I was chopping onions while watching this speech, and a lot of tears are coming up. But it was only because I was chopping onions at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
Like most men do.
Yeah, you know, hey, you got to have your onions.
Got to be ready for the next day.
That's right. That's right. Because I was having an onion
apparently
salad.
Apparently, there's a whole lot more to that story than what we all knew and what Daniel Bryan was telling everybody, because now the word is out that he's had seizures, and we all thought it was his neck, but it ended up being all these concussions. And, man, I can't believe that he fought it so long, mm-hmm. especially if there were seizures involved in things, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, did you ever, when he was here in Memphis, did you ever get to meet him?
I did meet him. Now, we didn't, not a whole lot when he was here in Memphis, but, of course, I followed his career. And, you know, the American Dragon, he had the mask on him, all that kind of stuff, and he was known for coming out of Shawn Michaels' camp. I think he was one of the first graduates. That whole group came out, and they all got signed. Mm-hmm. And then I actually ran into him when I was just going into developmental at WWE. He was actually on his way out, going up to the main roster. And so I was able to be on a couple of shows with him and kind of talk to him about Memphis and everything. And one of the funny things is his last night there, they got him this big, huge cake, and kind of a going away cake. And it was a huge penis cake.
Oh, God.
And it was so funny. And it's this huge, huge cake. It had to be 2 feet long or 3 feet long. And it had this penis on it. And all the boys are eating out of this cake. And he actually took it to the car with him. And we reminisced about Chris Rocker. He remembered Rocker and working with Rocker. And, of course, mm-hmm. Derek. He wrestled with Derek a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But we kind of caught up about Memphis and all that stuff right before he went up. And then shortly after, there was a big buzz about him getting fired. And was it real? Was it fake? Not even the coaches at FCW, you know, Dr. Tom and Norman Smiley and Steve Kern, those guys, they didn't know if it was a shoot or if it was a work or what.
Mm-hmm.
Now, looking back, I think it probably was a work because he ended up coming back at SummerSlam and he was in the main event. I mean, right. How did that happen? But regardless, yeah, we caught up about old Memphis stuff. And, you know, you mentioned Chris Vernon earlier. He actually had Daniel Bryan on.
Yep.
I think it was before the Fastlane pay-per-view.
Yes,
and they talked a lot about wrestling at fairgrounds and wrestling in parking lots and things like that.
Wrestling at the old Liberty Land.
Yeah, Old Liberty Land in the fairgrounds.
When he was running around, and my favorite part of that whole thing was tattoos in Liberty Land. Kids shouldn't be getting tattoos. You hear that guy go, they're only temporary. Oh,
right, that's
okay. But, man, Daniel.
That was back in the days where you had Memphis Championship Wrestling versus Power Pro Wrestling, and they flip-flop back and forth with the developmental deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just getting started at that time. I remember that when it flipped one time from Memphis Championship Wrestling to Power Pro, and I got a text message from Derek King like at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he said, "Are you going to TV tomorrow?" And I wasn't even on TV. I would go set up the ring and just wait for an opportunity, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "You might want to be there." And I said, "I don't know, man. They never do anything with me when I'm there." And he goes, "Trust me, you want to be there."
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I showed up that morning, and Brandon Baxter pulled me and Jet Logan to the side and said, "Hey, guys, it's a new ball game now. There's some spots. you guys work for them. And then, you know, we started doing a little bit more. But, man, that was a really fun time in Memphis, man. You had developmental flip-flopping back and forth. You had two shows on Memphis television.
Mm-hmm. Those were
now we can't even get one.
Yeah, I know, man. That was one of the things. If I would have won the Powerball, I was going to somehow buy some TV time and bring back local Memphis wrestling on TV, but I didn't win. So.
There's no doubt in my mind that the ratings would be there. I mean, you have the Grizzlies, they do a wrestling night.
Yep.
The Redbirds have done wrestling night. Mm-hmm. The local hockey team has done wrestling night. I mean, it Coliseum Coalition, they do it in the parking lot of Mid-South Coliseum and have thousands of people out there. We talk about it on the local news. I mean, on the radio.
And Memphis wrestling
would definitely draw.
And Memphis wrestling is still alive, you know.
Absolutely.
There's small companies. There's MEW. There's SGWA in South Haven. I think there's
Wildfire.
Mm-hmm. Memphis Wildfire. There's SPWA out in Raymer, which is about what 45 minutes, an hour away from Memphis.
Yeah, they pick up the radio out there. I mean, all the stuff that we do, they saw local Memphis Live this week. They listened to Cerrito Live out there. So everything that we talk about, they hear, you know, everything is so close. Even if it's not in Memphis, if it's Raymer, if it's in New Bern, if it's in Amory, Mississippi, where OWO is, you know, all those places, they see this, they hear this. It all means something.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't have a TV.
Yeah. That's the one thing we're lacking up here. I actually, was goofing off, and I was trying to get something on Amazon on my Apple TV, and I got it to work, and then I was like, well, now that it works, I'm going to watch Memphis Heat again, and I made my wife sit down and watch it, and I don't think she was too happy about it, but I was. But that's...
I'm glad you mentioned that. Yeah, they're doing a re-release
of
Memphis Heat at the Malco Paradiso on Poplar Avenue, and it's on March the 24th. I think it's 7 o'clock bell time, but Maria and myself will be out there, and I imagine that... you know, a lot of the local, you know, Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler and all those guys, I imagine that they'll be a part of that too. But can you believe it's been 5 years since they released that?
No, and I can remember going, I saw that. Did it play last time? It was, is that the small Malco?
Like the Ridgeway?
No, Playhouse on the Square.
Oh, was it that one?
Yeah, it was in Midtown.
That sounds about right.
I don't remember, but man. Just seeing the rotating statue and wrestling come on the screen.
Yes.
A part of my heart sang out, and I saw it with a buddy of mine that was from California, and he didn't understand what it was. He's like, that is one of the, you know, craziest statues I've ever seen. I was like, you shut your mouth. That's heritage right there. And, you know, and it's
tradition.
And you know, it's going to be when you watch it again, it's going to be kind of a bummer in it because of some of the guys that do a lot of talking throughout the movie.
Yeah. And they passed away, you know, Buddy Wayne passed away and
Big Jack Eaton,
he passed away. I mean,
so
that documentary is going to mean more and more as time goes on.
That's right.
And there's more things that happen, you know?
Well, you have a big interview coming up on Cerrito Live this week.
Yes. So yeah, that's awesome. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm really happy that I was able to kind of plug in on local Memphis Live the other day. And you know, Amy's such a big wrestling fan. She was tweeting about SmackDown and all that kind of stuff, so I was like, I'm gonna bring the championship. She'll love that. And she was really surprised at how heavy it was, but every time I'm on there, it's really cool because she likes wrestling. And WWE Hall of Famer Handsome Jimmy Valiant, he's gonna come on the program. And if you notice, he joined Twitter.
Yeah, man, he got like 2,000 followers in a day or something like that, it seemed.
I think once people find out that he's on, I mean, they got to follow him. Hashtag Ask Boogie. That's one of my favorite things ever.
Well, you want to hear it, don't you?
Oh, yeah, you do it. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You got it?
Let me
hear it. I know you just so people know, you tweeted to me that I can't wait to hear your handsome Jimmy Valiant impression. So, Mercy Daddy, let me hear.
Mercy Daddy, we're down here in Memphis, Tennessee, baby. I'm from New York City. My grandmother is right here in Memphis, Tennessee, baby. Mercy Daddy!
We hear that every week.
I got to. My dad was doing some wrestling stuff up near Jonesboro, and... Handsome Jimmy, I end up becoming a ref in a match, and Handsome Jimmy was in the match, and like it took all of my concentration just to not stop and stare and handsome.
Or laugh.
Some of the stuff. Well, it was he did the spot. What, he was wrestling a guy named Dirty Little Dave. And
I know Dirty Little Dave.
And this was when he was with New Breed, I think. And but they did a spot where Handsome Jimmy grabbed his nose. And I said, you know, you got to stop, Jimmy. 1, 2, 3. And I slapped his hand. Then Dirty Dave, you know, got to sell the drop in the nose spot. And that's something that I got to say, I got to do. I got to meet Handsome
Jimmy.
That
is hilarious. Well, my run-in with Handsome Jimmy was just a couple years ago with Wildfire. And brought him out. Like, me and Maria were going to do a big interview on the 5-Star Showcase. And he got a huge ovation. And then all of a sudden, it was like, how does it feel to be standing in the ring with a power couple? And he's like, looks at me like, who? And it ended up at Handsome Jimbo planting a big old kiss right on Maria's lips.
Oh, no.
And I was none too pleased. And so I had to beat up Handsome Jimmy and left Miami. And I will forever be grateful that Handsome Jimmy did that spot, because there was no comeback. There was no fire up at the end. Nobody made the saves. He let me beat him down and left him laying. And there are a ton of guys out there that would not do that. And he's all about business. And, man, my hat's off to him. And I'm glad he's coming on the show, because if you've ever heard him cut promo on Memphis Wrestling, he does the same thing when he does radio spots. Mm-hmm. And have mercy, Daddy, he's going to be on fire. His energy level is second to none.
Yeah, he is.
But when you meet him backstage, he's calm, cool, collected. And as soon as that music hits and he hits through that curtain, he is on fire. So I'm really excited. You know, he had a long career here in Memphis working with Kingfish, and then ended up in the WWE Hall of Fame. So this Saturday on Sports 56 WHBQ at 12 o'clock, so that's 12 o'clock Central, Handsome Jimmy's going to call in. He'll actually be on the road. I'm not sure who he's going to be with. That's always interesting because, you know, he travels with Bill Dundee and some of the old school Memphis wrestling guys. And, you know, he's still very active. So it'd be interesting to talk to him, see what's going on. But that's coming up on Saturday. But coming up in the next couple of weeks, you know, Grizzlies have at FedEx Forum, they're going to do wrestling night again. And this year they're giving away Lucha Libre masks. So it'll be some sort of Grizzlies-related Lucha mask. Last year they did the championship belt. But on Cerrito Live, we're going to talk to Jason Potter, who is over all the production and the game op events. So we'll be able to ask him first and foremost, before the event ever happens, what do you have planned? What are we going to see? Because last year we got Ric Flair, Jerry Lawler. I mean, they had it decked out, man. It was awesome. And then, of course, we have former WWE creative writer Andrew Goldstein. He's joined the program many times. He's going to come on before WrestleMania and kind of give us his take on what we're going to see. And then right before WrestleMania, we're going to have somebody who actually headlined WrestleMania. Any guesses?
Chris Jericho.
Oh, man, I wish. I get Jericho. I'm a huge Jericho-holic.
Somebody actually, else
he is
besides
a manager.
Me. He's a man.
What was that?
Jimmy Hart.
No. New school.
New school manager that's main evented.
Championship match. I'll just tell you.
Heyman?
Alberto Del Rio.
You're going to have Ricardo Rodriguez on?
Oh. He's going to be on. Yeah, he's a good friend of mine.
Oh, cool.
And then, of course, we always have Derek King on from time to time, so he'll be on there too. So we have a huge
well,
lineup
wait a minute.
Coming up on Cerrito Live.
You said his name wrong.
Who's that?
Derek King. You said his name wrong. You forgot the middle part.
Oh, gosh. By God, greater than great. Right. We got a huge lineup coming up on Cerrito Live, and that thing's kind of taken off. I mean, we've had everybody from Bret Hart to Big Papa Pump. He's been on. Coco Beware. You know, lots of WWE Hall of Famers, and I can't wait to talk to Handsome Jimmy on Saturday. It's going to be fun.
Speaking of Hall of Fame, what is it going to take to get Andy Kaufman in the Hall of Fame?
It'll happen. I think it'll happen. I mean, he's one of the first celebrities to really be involved in professional wrestling.
Involved in a gimmick, yeah. I've said it on here many times.
many times we've discussed that.
I'm waiting on Lance Russell. When's Lance Russell going to get in?
And you know what ticks me off about that? Jerry Lawler, when he was going to go into the Hall of Fame, he asked that Lance Russell bring
Induct
him in.
Him, yeah.
And Kevin Dunn's like,
yeah.
No one would know who that is. I had to do my Jim Cornette, Kevin Dunn thing, and that really ticked me
That's
off.
That's why we need a camera on this show sometimes.
You're going to get me
started. Well, I mean, I've been able to meet Lance, and we've become friends over the years, and he's been on Cerrito Live too. And then, you know, I actually did a heel promo with Lance on Bill Dundee's show at one point, and was able to, you know, call him Banana Nose and all that kind of stuff. It was a lot of fun.
Did you make a Baxter
Who wouldn't want to heel on Lance Russell and call him Banana Nose? Nah, you know,
I've saw it many times growing up. As you know, highlight of that's what I loved about NXT so much. It kind of reminded me of those old school Memphis shows. The only thing that was missing was just the commentators table to the ring. Whenever they wanted to come out and cut a promo, Lance Russell had to walk around the desk and interview the guy. And you know, you had to ring the bell to make the save. I miss that with wrestling shows, especially with this commentary team on Raw.
Well, they had that at FCW. You'd have Dr. Tom Pritchard sitting at the table with the bell right there at ringside. And then that way, I guess he could give cues, go home cues.
Well, what else you got going on, man? I know you got probably.
All right, man, I got some dates before I go. So February 20th, because I'm not on the road this weekend because it's Valentine's Day. I got to take my Maria out for Valentine's Day I can stay out of the doghouse. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Good form.
Right. But then on February 20th, we're back at SPWA in Raymer, Tennessee. I'm going to be defending the SPWA Heavyweight Championship. And then on February 22nd and also the 24th, I'll be back on Local Memphis 5 on Local 24. Hopefully, I'll still have that championship with me and showing it off, you know. And then March 11th has wrestling night at FedEx Forum. As far as I know, right now, I am scheduled to wrestle in the pregame just like before. And last time I was able to join ESPN Radio during the game and talk with Eric Castletine on there. So there's no telling what's going to be planned on that. But I'll be there March 11th. But also I want to mention that on March 11th in Ripley, Mississippi, there's going to be a huge show with Handsome Jimmy Valiant. I think superstar Bill Dundee, Rodney Mack from his old WWE days. It's a loaded card. Action Jackson. I mean, you got some of the guys from WWE, from old school Memphis, and then new school Memphis. They're all going to be there in Ripley, Mississippi on March 11th. But then I'll be back for OWO Super Show in Amory. Maria and I are going to be in Amory on March 12th. And then on March 19th, we'll be back in New Bern, Tennessee for EIW. We have some more dates coming up. I know we're going to be in Jonesboro coming up soon. We're actually running out of Fridays and Saturday nights, you know, and that's a good thing. So we'll be on the road and be kicking some butt.
Hey, you keep mentioning the Grizzlies wrestling night. I actually work with the Grizzlies. I'm one of the team attendants. And
oh, cool.
I've heard some rumors of who's going to come out this year. I can share that now. I mean, there are rumors.
Go ahead. Let's see.
Lawler, obviously.
Of course.
He's always there. Obviously. He shows up during playoff games.
Right.
But as of a few weeks ago, Buff Bagwell, Mick Foley.
Buff Bagwell was actually scheduled for Ripley, Mississippi on March 11th. So if the Grizzlies do get him, he'll have to cancel the Ripley show.
Yeah. Mick Foley has been mentioned.
Wow, that'd be nice.
And they actually said Bret Hart, but I'm thinking that may have changed now.
Yeah,
possibly. And for those that haven't heard, you know, he's battling prostate cancer now. And
right, and I just saw online.
Talk about a guy with bad luck, you know?
Yeah. But also being at the Grizzlies games, I was there Halloween night, and I saw the most jacked Robin I have ever seen.
I mean, can you believe they had the Robin costume with all those muscles on there?
No. I mean, actually, it was right after the game. I was heading over to the opposing team's locker room because that's what I do after the games. And you and Maria walked right past, and you know, I had to take a double look. I was like, I've never seen Robin that big before. And
well, we went down there. Let's see. What did we do? We're friends with Grizz, so we're out hanging out with Grizz and just goofing off, you know, doing something for Halloween. And then we had backstage passes, which really weird to have backstage passes at the Grizzlies, but they gave us the backstage thing. We were going to go and have a couple of drinks and hang out. And we were lost. We were walking through the locker rooms and everything. We had no idea where we were down there. So we're just like roaming around the Grizzlies locker room like a bunch of crazy people.
Yeah, it's my third season.
But
there.
That
wrestling
night was a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Anything else you got coming up?
Man, it sounds like, I don't know if I can fit anymore in.
Well, where
but every single Saturday we're on Cerrito Live. So Cerrito Live is on Sports 56 WHBQ. Of course, you can subscribe to the podcast and get it on demand anytime you want. We get about 30 minutes to 45 minutes or so to talk wrestling. Of course, big shout out to Kevin Cerrito and a big thank you to him for helping keep wrestling alive on the independent scene here in Memphis. He's a huge wrestling fan.
Yep.
And basically, I mean,
I'm working on getting him on the show.
What's that?
I'm working on getting him on the show too, on this show.
Yeah. I mean, you got to talk to the guy. Yeah. A quick funny story. He let me borrow here recently the Blu-ray for Jerry Lawler's Blu-ray. Well, the last time he let me borrow a DVD was Memphis Heat, and I kept it for like 6 months. I kept forgetting to bring it to him, and he's like, "Hey, Dustin, you gonna bring me my DVD back or what?" I'm like, sure. So I actually met with Lance Russell. He autographed the Memphis Heat DVD, and when I returned it to Kevin Cerrito, I returned it in better condition than what it was.
That's amazing.
He was surprised to see Lance Russell's autograph on there.
That's very nice.
But every Saturday we're on Cerrito Live. This week's going to be 12 o'clock, but he's live from 11 to 1. I know they have a big 3-hour show coming up, so check him out at CerritoLive.com and subscribe to that podcast, because we talk a lot of good wrestling stuff. And I appreciate you guys for having me on too, because the more we can talk about wrestling, you know, the better it is. We're all big fans of it.
That's right. That's right.
That's why we're here.
We usually will save this for the end of the show, and I'll just get yours now, Dustin. Since Dan's not here, we need a third. Can you give me your
Superstar of the Week?
My Superstar of the Week.
I made up this segment so I could play with my mixer. That's all.
Okay, so first of all, I would like to say that Dustin Five Star is the Superstar of the Week, because, I mean, I walked in on the first night at SPWA in Reamer, Tennessee, first night, and won the SPWA Heavyweight Championship. I mean, that's pretty solid, right?
Very.
That's deserving of it there.
It doesn't get any better than Daniel Bryan.
Very good. Very good.
I mean, the way that he went out, I'll just say it right now. You guys, everybody complained for years and years about Daniel Bryan this, not getting that push. Why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they doing that? Look at the career the guy had, man. He headlined WrestleMania.
Right.
He started on the independent scene at, 17 years old, wrestling in parking lots, flea markets, Liberty Lands. He traveled the world, lived his dream, headlined WrestleMania, won the WWE Heavyweight Championship, World Heavyweight Championship, had a WrestleMania moment. He never lost the Intercontinental title, and then he went out like nobody else could.
Right.
I mean, he got the Edge treatment.
Okay.
That is solid. Any Daniel Bryan fan that looks back and complains about the way he was booked or the way he was used, you need to look at it from start to finish, because he did everything that any of us wrestlers dreamed of doing.
And on top of all that, you know, he was an extremely good person. And just look at the work he did with Connor.
Oh, yeah, man. And you know what? It always comes back, but I say it each time. Started right here in Memphis, Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's right.
And one of his other
anybody.
One of his other big accomplishments was having Derek and myself in the Occupy Raw on that night.
That's what we're connected to Daniel Bryan.
Happened in Memphis.
We were a part of it.
We were in it. We were down there on the floor.
Awesome.
My shoulders are jacked up to this day because I had to do the yes champ for so damn long.
You know, but not many guys get to go out like that. Not many guys get to have the career that he had. And I hope he's not done with wrestling, because it's WWE smart. The guy's young. He can help teach. I mean, he can be an on-screen talent. Why not make him a broadcaster?
Right.
I mean, there's so many things that they can do with Daniel Bryan. If he chooses to stay in the business and stay around it, if he loves it like we all think that he does, you know, he should have a different role in WWE. But for anybody that's listening that complained any about the way that he was booked or how he was used, he did everything that any of us wrestlers dreamed of doing.
That's right. And to quick fantasy book, like, what if Linda McMahon brought him back as the commissioner of the WWE to keep the authority in check or something like that? That would probably, you know, kind of like they did with Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the people would go crazy. They'd love it.
It'd be great.
They would love it.
Well, Dustin, where can folks find you on social media?
At Dustin Starr. You can go anywhere you want. You can go on Periscope. You can go on Twitter. You can go on Instagram. Facebook, like the page, over 5,000 likes. We actually had so many friends on the Facebook, I had to merge it into one of those pages. And then also you can check out Maria. Mine's at Dustin Starr with two R's. And then Maria, she's the Maria Starr with two R's. And she's on all the social media channels as well. So follow us on those. We like to do some behind-the-scenes footage on Periscope. And also, I would say, check out Five Star Fan Cam on YouTube.
Yes.
My man Fred Cotto, he not only posts videos of me and Maria and our matches, but he has a lot of rare independent footage from all the local shows. So you should be able to find your favorite wrestler on there as well. I mean, me versus Chris Masters, that match has probably over 60,000 hits on YouTube.
Wow.
So you get a little bit of everything with him. So that's on my Facebook page as well, and it's also on Fred Cotto's page. He takes a lot of pride in taking those videos. He travels a lot of miles, just like the rest of us do, and he does it because he loves it.
Right.
So follow us on all those and keep up to date on what's going on.
All right. Well, Dustin, man, thanks for coming back on the show, dude. We love getting a chance to talk to you, man. And, you know, Dustin is very approachable. Like at NXT, I got to walk up and I gave him a little too sweet.
Too sweet.
Because that's what I do.
Yeah,
now. I don't give fives. I give two sweets. I don't know.
If you're deserving of a two sweet, then
but
you're pretty up there.
But Dustin, man, was taking pictures with everybody. And, you know, I didn't get it. For some reason, I'm stupid and didn't get a picture with him at NXT.
Get a picture. We'll do one next time.
We will. So, but always a pleasure having you on the show, man.
All right, guys. Thanks, man.
All right. Talk to you later, Dustin.
All right, bye.
Well, that was our interview with Dustin Five Star. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is the Oversell Podcast. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed that interview with Dustin Five Star. He is one of the best here in Memphis and apparently really, really, really busy. So the fact that we got to sit down and talk to him for 45 minutes was great. Thank you again, Dustin.
Always a class act.
Always class act. We're going to work on getting Maria on the show next month. And Kevin Cerrito, I think I'm going to have him come on and help us review WrestleMania.
Sweet.
Kevin is an awesome guy. Very cool. Let's do a quick Memphis wrestling moment. We're going to go. Actually, found February 11th, 1980. Let's see. The Iranian Assassin versus Jerry Bryant. Rick Morton versus Buddy Wayne. Rick and Robert Gibson versus Sonny King and Sugar Bear Harris. Sugar Bear Harris, didn't he end up becoming Kamala, didn't he?
I am not sure.
No, maybe not. I could be wrong. Handsome Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man, Mercy Daddy. He's going to come in here with Paul Ellering, with Jimmy Hart as their manager, and they're going to take on Bill Dundee and Steve Riggle, man. Mercy Daddy, brother.
I've heard that before.
And the main event was a grudge tag match. Ken Lucas and Billy Robinson versus the Assassins. That was February 11th, 1980. A ringside ticket. Guess how much a ringside ticket was?
$5.
$5. Yes. On the dot. Risers were
I'm ready for
four.
Trivia.
let's see. And I think this is it. And last night's wrestling matches at the Mid-South Coliseum witnessed by 4,236 fans. 4,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
Rick and Robert Gibson won by disqualification over Sonny King and Sugar Bear Harris, while Ken Lucas and Billy Robinson won in their same manner over the Assassins. Another bout, Steve Regal beat Jerry Bryant, and Ali Hassan and Paul Ellering beat Bill Dundee and handsome Jimmy Valiant, baby. 4,000 people there in the Coliseum.
That's a lot.
And actually, back then, that was like to me, that was kind of a low week.
Yeah, that's a low week.
but still, 4,000 people at a wrestling show. Let's, as we like to end every episode, because I'm out of stuff to talk about for this week.
And we pretty much covered everything with Dustin.
Yeah. Next week, I'm going to talk a lot about, I got a lot of Lucha Underground I want to get off my brain. You know, Bayley had a great match from what I hear. I haven't been able to watch NXT yet.
Right.
Bayley had a great match with Carmella for the NXT women's title. We got the big Dallas show coming up for NXT.
We got next week we'll be talking about Fastlane. That's the, isn't it?
Yeah, no, Fastlane, well, I guess we'll be talking a little bit about it, but we're not. It's the week after. It's the 21st. It's not on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. We'll be talking, predicting Fastlane that week.
Sure. That should be really quick, though.
Yeah.
Well, as we like to end every episode, we like to do Superstar of the Week. So, Mike, I ask you, who is your
Superstar of the Week?
You've got to go Daniel Bryan. I mean, I think that should be everybody's Superstar of the Week.
God, I'm reading some of the stuff in the chat room.
Read it. We have time.
It's only George's course. I totally forgot what podcast I was listening to. Those mics are pretty sensitive. This piss hitting the toilet is loud. Whoops. Talk about how WWE is finally developing their women's division, and all of it won't matter thanks to Brie. my one comment I want to say is they better not put the title on Brie Bella just because of Daniel Bryan.
Daniel Bryan, yeah.
You're finally building up Sasha Banks. You're finally building up Becky Lynch, Charlotte. You got Bayley on the horizon, and you still have Natalya.
Who?
Exactly. So it would be a mistake to put the title on Brie Bella at this time. My
Superstar of the Week.
Man, you know, we need someone different other than Daniel Bryan and Dustin Starr. Dustin, you know, of course, nominated himself
right
for Superstar of the Week. Daniel Bryan, I think, is a given.
Give me somebody from NXT.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go Finn Balor. Just because finally getting to see him wrestle live.
In the entrance.
I'm going to all of NXT. I'm just going to give it to the whole NXT roster because that show was incredible. The wrestling was – there was no promos. It was just wrestling.
And Emma was a part of it.
And so. Emma in a suit and Asuka. Yeah. Asuka is amazing. The whole show is great. I got my program right here. Finn Balor and Baron Corbin in the main event. Sami Zayn, Samoa Joe, Bayley, Nia Jax, Asuka and Emma. American Alphas versus Blake and Murphy and Billy Kay versus Alexis Bliss and Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano versus Dash and Dawson. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
And it was just great wrestling. And I'm going to give my superstar. I have to give it to the whole NXT roster because I can't pick up. You know, I want to say Finn Balor, but then Bayley had an awesome match. And she freaking did a belly to Bayley suplex on Nia Jax.
Sweet.
Hey, Nia Jax is a big old girl. And this is the first time I got to see Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn wrestle live. That was incredible. Yeah. Samoa Joe, like, I thought he was just a big portly dude. He's built like a power lifter. He's built like Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, he's just a big dude.
Yeah, and he's awesome. He's a great worker. It was so much fun getting to go to that show. So, yeah, I'm going to go whole NXT roster. And
apparently, they will be back at some point.
Yes. 3-year contract. Maybe. Yeah. I can't wait. You going to go to the next one?
As long as I can get tickets in time.
Yeah. Well, you better get them like the second they go on sale.
I'm
going to
sit online from now until they go on
to
sale.
There you go. Well, folks, thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. The easiest way to get to this podcast is subscribing on iTunes. While you're there, leave a 5-star review and leave a comment. And that'll help us get this podcast bigger. Be sure to head over to OverSellPodcast.com and check out the Amazon link right underneath the main player. Click that link, buy a bunch of stuff on Amazon. There's no extra fees or hidden fees or anything like that. We just get a small commission on anything that is sold through our link, and it helps out this podcast.
So buy a bunch of stuff.
Buy laptops. Go buy. You need 6 new laptops in your home, and you need to do it through Amazon Podcast.
You should have
Amazon
one in every room.
.com through OverSellPodcast.com. Be sure you're following us on Twitter. We are at Oversell Podcast, Facebook.com/OverSellPodcast. I am at Shropnuts, Shroepnuts.
At WolfMike23.
You're getting better at this whole Twitter thing.
Yeah, I send out one every now and then now.
Yeah, I just got to start Buffy conversations to get you started. Anyway.
It took Mo to get me going.
Yeah. All right, folks. Thank you for listening. This is the Oversell Podcast.